your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Samuel. No, let's do this. Turn to Numbers. Turn to Numbers chapter 31, if you will. Numbers chapter number 31. Numbers chapter number 31. I want you to find verse 16. Numbers 31. Go to verse number 16. Now, stand with me, if you will, please. We're going to read a couple of verses here, then I'll pray, I'll let you sit down, and then I'll read another passage. Numbers chapter 31, starting with verse number 16, it says this, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him." If you'll look back at me, the series we started a few weeks ago, this is lesson number 9, is called Destructive Behavior. Tonight, it's on the subject of seeking bad counsel. Seeking bad counsel can be very destructive. Did you notice someone sought the wrong type of counsel? The Bible says as a result of it, there was a plague. As a result of it, the boy children were put to death and the women were put to death that were not virgin. You talk about a mess. Somebody really got a hold of some raunchy counsel. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And let's pray. Father, bless us. Help me that my mind would be strong. And I want to teach the Bible, teach it the right way. So, Father, I submit my mind and my mouth to you. May we all submit our ears, our perceptions to you. And help us, Father, tonight to be more like Jesus because we came to church. Please help the interruptions to be minimal and help our attention to be maximized and affixed to the truth of the Word of God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you heard that, someone sought counsel and a plague came. And virtually, I think, innocent people ended up being put to death. What a mess. Now, we're talking about destructive behavior. I don't think we realize that when we seek counsel and we seek the wrong kind of counsel, it can be very destructive in your life. We don't always call it counsel. One teenager can get with another teenager and talk to them and advise them to do something. And boy, that can create such a mess. It's not usually wise that teenagers get advice from teenagers. And we've got to be very careful. We can get ourselves in a lot of trouble, and our lives can be harshly affected by seeking the wrong type of counsel. Now, take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now we're going to go to another story about counsel. And this is a far better story. The first one, somebody sought counsel, and there was a plague and death and destruction. Now we're going to look at another story in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Find verse number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 2. And I'm going to read a few verses to you here, and then we'll look at this story. It says, 1 Samuel 9, 2, "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and godly. And there was not among the children of Israel goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shilashah. But they found him not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come unto the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. And he said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go." Now I want you to go to verse number 18. Verse number 18 of the same chapter, it says, Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? It is not on thee and on thy father's house." Now, we started out in Numbers chapter 31, and bad counsel was sought and followed, and as a result of it, there was a plague and a massacre. Now we see another story completely told here, and we see counsel being given again. This story here, Saul was a young adult man. His father's name was Kish, K-I-S-H. Kish had some donkeys. And the donkeys had been lost. Now, this was his livelihood. This is how he earned his money. And there was a bunch of his donkeys that were gone. And Kish asked his son Saul to find them. He said, "Now you take a servant with you and go find my missing donkeys." They searched through three different territories, but they could not find this herd of donkeys. They were working at it. And finally, Saul said, "This isn't working. We are not finding the donkeys." And in verse number 6, it is said, "There is in this city a man of God." They were speaking of Samuel. And he said, "He's an honorable man." It says, "All that he saith surely cometh to pass." Then they said, "He can show us our way." In other words, they had tried and tried and tried to solve their problem, and they couldn't get their problem solved. Matter of fact, they wasted more time, more energy, and they were getting nowhere. And someone said, "Well, let's see if we can get some advice from the man of God about this thing." And in verse 18, the advice is given. It's talk about the seer's house. In other words, Saul was a man that had wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. So they said, "Let's go to the seer's house." They were talking about Samuel. "Let's go ask someone that will see this from God's perspective." And when you get to verse number 19, Samuel said, I'm the seer, and basically he was saying, I'm the counselor, I'm an advisor. And then in verse 20, Samuel then gives Saul the exact advice, the exact counsel that he needed regarding his missing donkeys. He said, "Don't worry. I already know where the donkeys are. You had yourself in an uproar, and had you come to see me in the first place, I could have helped you with this, but you were doing it your own way, and now I can solve the problem for you." Now, and he found the donkeys, and the problem was solved. Saul should have sought counsel in the first place and got a little bit of help. Seeking counsel does not make you weak. Seeking counsel makes you strong. I had someone come to see me about something one day, and they said, "I was kind of humiliated and kind of embarrassed to come talk to you about this because I didn't want you to think less of me when I told you what I needed to figure out." I said, you've got it all wrong. I think more of you because you're going to have the answer, and now you're going to go solve the problem, and you're actually stronger for seeking counsel. You won't believe how many people want to put up a front that they're strong when they're not, so their life is falling apart and they're too embarrassed to seek counsel. I think seeking counsel is the wise thing. Counsel seekers are strong people. Most of the time, non-counsel seekers are not strong people. They're people that are facading through life, hoping to figure it out. Just like Saul, they said, they went to three different territories looking for those donkeys and couldn't find them. So, for many years, my pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, I remember him telling this story. He said that he was a young pastor in his very, very first pastorate. And he said he was as green could be. He said he just didn't know a whole lot. He said so, buddy had him an office, and he had a desk, and he was sitting in there one day, and he had a secretary. And he said that his secretary came to the door and said, her name was Mrs. Smoke. She didn't smoke, but her name was Mrs. Smoke. And everybody looked right this way. And he said that she came and knocked on his door and said, "Pastor Hiles, there's one of the congregation are here, and they came to you, and they're asking for some counsel." And he said he had no idea what that was. And he said, "Will you just go ahead and give them what they want?" She said, "Well, Pastor, they were kind of hoping to get the counsel from you." And he said, "Well, do you know where it's kept? And I'd be glad to go get it and hand it on to them." And Mrs. Smoke was a much older, she had some experience, and she pulled the door shut and she said, "Pastor, they were wanting some advice." He said, "Oh, well, you give them the counsel and I'll give them the advice." And she said, "I'll do that exact thing." He said, after it was all over with, the secretary came in and said, "Pastor, the word counsel and the word advice are kind of the same thing." And he said, "Well, he never wondered about that again." Now, let me read you a verse. This verse describes counseling as it ought to be. 2 Samuel 16:23, it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." So it was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom. So this is both David and Absalom's counselor at a high point. And boy, did you hear what it said? It said that to get his counsel was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. His answers then were God's answers. His counsel was God's counsel. His advice was God's advice. Just as if you could, wouldn't it be something if you and I could walk into God's throne room and say, "Could I get a moment with you? I want to ask you a question." This man named Ahithophel was a very capable, wise man. And when you ask him a question, he would tell you what God would tell you. You say, "Well, how's that possible?" Well, the Bible, that's God's mind. What you have there in your hand is the mind of God. So, let me ask you, how do you make your decisions? Do you get the newspaper and look at your sign? Are you an Aquarius or a Leo? And so you look up what the advice is for the day. Could I tell you something? Your fortune cookie is not from God. Now, the cookie might be, but the piece of paper on the inside, I know people say, "Oh my, this is wonderful. You see what my fortune is." You had been better off going to the book of Proverbs to get your fortune. Have you heard people, they just almost roll dice in life to make their decisions. You don't need to go to a soothsayer. You don't need to go to a witch. You don't need to go to a palm reader. You don't need to go to the zodiac. There are ways to make decisions. Now, the whole lesson, and we're going to get into it a little deeper here now, it's called destructive behavior. This is lesson number 9, seeking bad counsel. We see at the beginning, bad counsel caused a plague. It caused a massacre. Then we see another story. Somebody seeks counsel. It's good counsel. And that counsel helps them to solve their problem. Now, I want to talk about counsel for a little while. Number one, counseling was one of the ministries of Jesus. A lot of people don't realize that. Listen to this verse. Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." I had someone tell me one time, they said, "Oh, I don't believe in counseling." Well, then you don't believe in Jesus. No, counseling's taught in the Bible. Jesus was, and to this day, is a counselor. There's a wonderful story in the Bible. At age 12, Jesus' mom and Joseph had taken him to the feast of the Passover, and they lost him. I don't know. They might have had a lot of kids. The more kids you get, the more the potential walking off leaving one behind. Matter of fact, you can have two kids and one leave them behind. But in this case, Jesus got left behind. So mom and dad, if you will, mom and Joseph, they headed back home and they got separated. And I think she thought Jesus was with him and he thought Jesus was with her. And they headed back and they got up the road and they met up with each other at the watering hole. And she said, "Where's the kid?" And he said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, I thought you had the kid." And, "Oh, great, we left him back there." And they were all worried about him. And then they went back to find him. And you know where they found him? They found him in the temple, sitting with the doctors, amazing them. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 47, at 12, the people that were listening to his counsel were astonished. Well, that's the Word of God, and that's Jesus. You know, everything that Jesus said was the Word of God. We have what we call the red letter edition of the Bible, and all that is those are the words that came out of the physical body of Jesus Christ while he was walking the face of this earth. But I say this all the time in my Sunday school class, the entire Bible, whether it's red letter or black letter, it's all the words of Jesus Christ, it's all the Word of God. But I want you to understand that counseling was one of the ministries of Jesus Christ. Secondly, you and I, we are to seek biblical counsel. In Psalm 19:14, the Bible says, "Let the words of my heart and the meditation of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Notice, all that we think and all that we do should be acceptable in God's sight. In God's sight. Now, I know this seems extreme, but you and I are to do what we do all day long, 7 days a week, all the time, and it's to be acceptable in God's sight. Not what's acceptable in society, not what you and I accept from one another, but 24/7, it's called walking with God and seeking God's advice. Now, to most of you, you say, "Oh, yeah, sure, preacher, we agree with that." I could not tell you how many people think you're supposed to think God's way for a couple of hours on Sunday and then do your own thing the rest of the week. But that's not how it's supposed to work. Now, we're to seek biblical counsel. A counselor's advice should be that from God. It should be what God would recommend. And again, the verse, 2 Samuel 16:23, it says, "In the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as of a man had inquired at the oracle of God." Now, we want the Bible to be our God. And if someone gives counsel, that counsel should not be what the counselor thinks is right. That counsel should be what God thinks is right. It's what God would want one to do. That means this. I think the Bible is very clear. You and I should not seek counsel from the lost. We ought to be seeking counsel from saved people. Do you understand that if someone's lost, they have rejected Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So you want to seek counsel from someone that rejects the truth? Then how can they give you the truth if they reject the truth? Which means they're going to give you error. And that's why God would say to you and I, if we seek counsel, let's seek counsel from somebody that's saved. And I would seek counsel from someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'd find somebody that cares about the souls of men, that totes around the right Bible, that is going to the right kind of church, that's got a level spiritual head on their shoulders. That eliminates Dr. Phil and Jerry Springer and Maury and Oprah. Is she still on TV? Anybody know? She is. Thanks, Tyler. Oh, yeah. Rachel said she was. Listen, Mrs. Owens and I, we go to some Oriental restaurant and we'll have a fortune cookie, and I just wish the fortunes were true, because I've gotten some that's talking about, you know, landing the big money and everything like that. I know they're not true. I never get the big money. And there are times it said, "This is going to be your best week ever," and it was the raunchiest week I'd had in a long time. So you can't go to the bank on fortune cookies, but I do love their taste. I don't know. Those are really good cookies. But listen, Jesus was a counselor, and if we're going to seek counsel, it ought to be biblical counsel, which means it comes from somebody that's saved. And what I would do is I would look for that person that has the Holy Spirit of God very evident in their life, and they're not just a Bible toter, but they're a Bible liver, and there's a difference. Thirdly, the Bible teaches that we're not to seek counsel from the wicked or the ungodly. In Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So, the word blessed there, it would be somewhat equivalent to our word happy or joyous. You're going to be far happier if you don't seek counsel from the ungodly. Folks, you won't be happy if you seek counsel from somebody that's not in love with God. They won't give you God advice. When somebody's not in love with the Bible and you seek their counsel, they're not going to give you the Bible for your advice. You know, the smartest one in the universe is God. And so, we're not to seek counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. In Job chapter 22, verse number 18, it says, "Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me." In other words, get the counsel from lost, wicked, and let me say this also. It's not just being saved. It's being dedicated to the Word of God. I mean, living it. I mean, filled with the Spirit. In other words, I don't think it's wise for you and I as Christians to seek counsel from fleshly, carnal, or backslidden Christians. So, we are not to seek counsel from the wicked or the ungodly. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Remember earlier when I told you, if someone's lost, they've rejected Jesus. Jesus is the truth. That means they're not going to give you much truth in your counsel. Here, the word deceit. You hear what it said? "But the counsel of the wicked are deceits." In other words, they'll give you the opposite of Jesus. It's deceitful. So, you watch what books you read. You know, the books you read give you counsel. Watch what talk shows. Watch what radio programs. Those things give you counsel. And I'll tell you this. And people, I wish people would believe me about this. Your music counsels you. You are getting counsel from your music. If you don't believe me, what kind of music do you run to when you're depressed or whatever? You run to a certain kind of music and you're letting that advise you. You're seeking something from it. Listen to the right kind of music. You'll get better counsel in your mind because your music counsels you. It advises you. So, I said, number one, counsel was a ministry of Jesus. Number two, we're to seek biblical counsel. Number three, we're not to counsel with the wicked or the ungodly. Number four, and this is kind of the premise of the whole lesson, bad counsel brings tragedy. Bad counsel brings tragedy. I'll read again a verse that we used at the beginning of the lesson. Numbers 31:16, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord." Notice, there was counsel, and it went against the Lord. And it says, the Lord, in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague. So now, they sought counsel from the wrong place, and it caused them to go against what God would have them to do. Now a plague has come. And it was a plague in the congregation. Verse number 17 is where we see all the boy children being slaughtered and all the non-virgin women being slaughtered. It was a mess. Listen, I just have to tell you, this counsel that came to them, Balaam's counsel caused people to trespass against the Lord, and it hurt their kids. Now, let me tell you something. Be careful where you get your counsel from. Somebody give you the wrong counsel, it doesn't only hurt dad or hurt mom. It could hurt the kids. In this case, you know, there were children that were slaughtered because somebody listened to bad counsel. Bad counsel will hurt your family. I had somebody come to see me, and it was a marriage, and it was in a mess. They had gone to a counselor who said, "Your physical relationship is boring to you. I suggest you bring a third party into your intimate relationship to spice it up." So the couple did it. They came to me and said, "We've gone to talk to a counselor. And by the way, you go to someone that is trained secularly. They'll give you secular advice." And they said, "Well, we trusted the counselor. I mean, they had degrees and they charged enough money." And I said, "Well, my counsel's free. My counsel is you never touch another man or never touch another woman that you're not married to. That'll ruin you." They said, "Pastor, we may already be ruined." Boy, bad counsel, it can cause your family to fall apart. Let me give you another, for instance, that was from Numbers 31, verse number 16. In 1 Chronicles 10:13, Saul dies because of bad counsel. 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says, "So Saul died for the transgression he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit." What happened? Saul had sought bad counsel, and it caused his death. Bad counsel can bring death to your marriage, death to your family, death to a dream, death to the will of God. It can bring death to your body. Now, Saul wanted advice, and he went to the wackos of the world to get his advice. And here the Bible says, because he sought stupid counsel, it cost him his life. The word stupid's not in there. I put that in there. Let me give you another. For instance, bad counsel caused the downfall of a kingdom when bad counsel was sought by Rehoboam. Let me read to you 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 8. It says, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men and that were grown up with him, and which stood before him." Now I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 13. And this is just a little later in this story, and I'll tell you the story here in a second. It says in 1 Kings 12, 13, "And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him." Rehoboam had become king. His dad Solomon had taxed the people very, very heavily. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth, but he did that by taxing the people outrageously. Might have been 30-35% tax, the highest in the world at that time. Rehoboam went to the old men, and Rehoboam said to the old men, "What do you think I ought to do with this tax issue?" And they said, "You need to back off on the people. The people are weary." Then he went to the guys that he grew up with, his peers, and said, "What do you think we ought to do about the taxes?" And they said, "Let's party. Pile it on. Tax them." Well, his peers wanted what they could get out of this. The old men cared about the country. They cared. They remembered their forefathers and how it used to be in the good old days. And the young men said, "Let's party. Push the taxes on the people." And Rehoboam decided that he would follow the counsel of the young men. He actually made he made this statement. He said to all his people concerning taxes, "My finger is going to be as fat as my father's thigh was." That was his way of talking about tax inflation to the max so he could get what he wanted. And you know what happened? The country split. There became a war over that thing. What happened? Bad counsel. Bad counsel. Ahaziah's downfall was bad counsel. Boy, I wish I had the time. I do not. But Ahaziah's story is just terrible. And in the story of Ahaziah, counsel had come from a grandparent that was wrong, that was living wickedly. And that wicked counsel costs. Folks, I want you to love your parents. I want you to love your grandparents. I want you to love your uncle and your aunt. But I have to tell everybody here, our families don't always give us the best advice. There's sometimes, and I'm talking about, you know, some of you have family members that are not saved and they don't love the Lord. They give you some pretty dumb advice sometimes. You say, "Well, what do I do?" Well, you might not want to ask somebody that doesn't love the Lord how you're going to get your family closer to the Lord. The Bible says there was a whole nation that was rebuked because of the lack or being void of counsel. Deuteronomy 32:28 says, "For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them." And so what was being taught is they don't seek advice, and so they don't understand why they're in such a mess. I think America needs counsel. I think America needs to get back to the Word of God. I think that America needs to get back to the Spirit of God. I know you'll think I'm crazy. I think the best thing the President of the United States could do is find a man of God that loves God and say, "What do we do?" You know, there are men of God out there that have more spiritual common sense than the people running our country. Folks, the churches of America, they need to be seeking counsel. so that their churches stay right. There are young men, young pastors, seeking counsel from other young pastors about which way to go. You know what they ought to do? Those young men ought to be seeking counsel from the old gray-haired men about which way do we go to stay right with God. Because just like Rehoboam, the young men that are seeking counsel from the young men, they're going to do whatever they have to get their church and get their salary. But if they go and see the old man's going to say, you stay on the old path. You stay with the old-time religion. You don't corrupt. You don't go with the contemporary. You stay right with God. That's what the old men would tell them. But they're seeking counsel from young men. And they're messing up their churches. Folks, I don't think we're ever too old to seek counsel. When I took this church over, I think I was 54, 53 years of age. Do you know before I accepted this pastorate, I went to my three primary counselors and spent hours seeking their advice and counsel. Well, you know, I've traveled around the world, spoken in almost every state in the Union, written I don't know how many books. I preached almost 36,000 sermons at that point. But did you know when I had a big decision to make, I needed to get some advice from somebody? So I wasn't self-counseling. Because you know what I could do? I could do what I want. This church, when it came my direction, was the small, and I don't mean this unkindly, it was the smallest opportunity made available to me. I went from a church this size all the way to a church running 3,000 people in the state of California that asked me to become their pastor. I sought counsel from my counselors. You know what they said? That's the one. Now, part of me said, well, I already built some things. But I have no doubt in my mind that the hand of God has been on our church and the decision was the right one. And I let some older men guide me. And I'm glad. I'm glad. I have no remorse about that at all. Failure comes because of bad counsel or no counsel. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So without counsel, you're going to find your purposes, your goals, your potentials in life, you're going to find them disappointed. Now, if you keep working towards something and you're not getting where you need to go with it, it may be that you're either getting bad counsel or you're getting no counsel. You say, I'm very disappointed about the results in my life in some areas. Have you ever thought about sitting down and talking with someone that had the power of God and the wisdom of God, that knew the Word of God, to figure out how to go about it? If you're constantly disappointed, it might be that you need some help. That verse said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. I'm not looking to do a bunch of extra work. Counseling is hard work. If it's done right, it's hard work. So I'm not trying to get a bunch of people to come see me for counsel, but I am going to tell you this. You seek bad counsel, It could cost you your marriage, your family, your job, your future. You don't seek any counsel. Let me warn you. No counsel has its roots in vanity and pride. And there are many verses in the Bible that talks about people that sought counsel of themselves. In other words, had a talk with themselves because they knew they would have agreement with someone. And all in favor say, I, both people present, me, myself. Well, all three people, and I said, oh, I'm for it, so it must be all right. I sought counsel of me. I'd be careful. I would be careful. Now, let me remind you of some of the ways that we get counsel. You get counsel from the Word of God. Folks, when you make decisions, go to the Word of God. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I have a decision to make. What does the Bible say? You'll get counseling from preaching. If you'll listen to the preaching, there's a ton of counseling that goes on while the Word of God's being given. That's one reason why, and I know all of you, you come to Sunday school, you're in church, but let me tell you, there are all sorts of people outside this building today. They need counsel, but they just didn't show up where it was available. They don't show up for Sunday school, so they lost some counsel. They don't show up for church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or on Wednesday night. They lost counsel. That they're losing counseling that they probably much needed. But we get counseling from the Word of God. We get counseling from preaching. That's Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You get counsel. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So you find a wise man, and you can get counsel. You can get counsel from your pastor. Young people, let me tell you something. If you have a mom and dad that love the Lord, that are sold out to the Lord, get counsel from them. But sometimes you got to be careful. If a mom and dad doesn't love the Lord and they have no interest in the Bible and no interest in the church, young people, best you can, try to get counsel from wise people that love the Lord. I want to be careful how I say it, but I've watched parents tell their kids to do some of the worst things. But get counsel. And I thank God. You know what? I love the fact that I know we have young people, some that come in on our buses, and I want them to respect their mom and dad, and I want them to love their mom and dad, and I want them to obey their mom and dad. But every once in a while, young person, don't be afraid to ask your Sunday school teacher what to do. I think some of your Sunday school teachers could tell you. I asked the children's church preachers what to do. Probably about a 12-year-old from one of our buses was waiting outside my office door about 3 weeks ago and was standing there and said, "Could I ask you a question?" I said, "You sure can." They asked their question. I gave them the answer. They said, "I would have never thought of that." I said, "That's why I'm the preacher." A 12-year-old that just needed some advice. Truth is, that 12-year-old should have been able to get that simple advice from a mom or a dad, but I got the impression there wasn't good advice available. And again, I'm not telling any 12-year-old not to respect their mom and dad, because you ought to respect them. And I'm not telling any 12-year-old you shouldn't love your mom and dad and you shouldn't obey your mom and dad. You should. But it won't hurt you when you get a chance to ask advice of a wise person that's sold out to God. So the lesson is destructive behavior. Lesson number 9, seeking bad counsel. I don't know if America understands the mess that America's created for herself. I do know this. I know, as I have studied history, I have found there were presidents that got their advice from the Bible. And there were presidents that got their advice from godly preachers and teachers. And America was in a whole lot better shape then. Now we're concerned about being politically correct. And we need to be concerned about being biblically correct. And from who the leadership gets their advice, it's going to make all the difference as to whether this country is destroyed or salvaged. And we better get our advice from God and from the Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, watch out. Bad counsel creates bad things. Don't let bad counsel take over your life. Watch what you read. Watch what you listen to. Watch who you get your advice from. The question is this. Would you say tonight, "God has spoken to my heart. I am challenged by what I've heard. I think I've learned. I think I've heard something tonight that's going to help me." And would you let God see your hand as you raise it in the sky, so God gets to see that you are listening and that it makes a difference in your heart? And you can put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, hey, it might be somebody here tonight. You got a decision to make. Maybe you need to come down, get on your knees and say, "Oh God, please control my mind. I want to make the right decision." And let God guide you. Let the Word of God, Let wise, godly people advise you. We'll have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Teenagers, make wise decisions. Make wise decisions. Get to your youth director. Get to the Sunday school teachers. Let mom and dad, if they love the Lord, let them help you make your decisions. Ushers, please have the prayer bulletins ready. In a moment, we're going to go through the prayer bulletin. If you have my sign-up sheet for the tent meetings, head it up this direction, because I don't want to lose that thing. I've got one of them. I'm sorry. Again, ushers, have those prayer bulletins ready. Destructive behavior, seeking bad counsel. One more time through the song, we'll check the prayer requests and we'll be on our way. Have a seat there. The sermon's over. I want to tell you one little story. Be very careful. You know, sometimes if you're making a big decision in life, it's wise, if you feel like you're doing what the Lord would have, might be wise to go see somebody and just see if it is confirmed. I had a major, major decision to be made in my life and my ministry. And I was real sure I knew what was right. And I'm sure you all think that I think I know it all. But I was just sure I knew what was right. And I was 100% certain this is right. But I decided if it's that right, then one of the wiser people I know will confirm that for me. I went. I told the scenario. It was going to change the rest of my life, the rest of my ministry. And I went to them and I said, here it is. What do you think? This is what I think I ought to do. And this is what he said. He said, I think you're exactly right, but you're wrong. I said, talk on. He said, I think what you're going to do is right. He said, I think when you're going to do it is wrong. He said, it's not just doing right. It is the proper timing of right. And he said, here's what I think. And he told me, and I thought, oh, wow. That was so incredible. I was, if you will, mature enough to figure out what was right, but just had an immaturity in the timing department. And after I heard that, I thought, that is brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? He said, yeah, that's why I'm the preacher.